Blog Talk Radio. afternoon. I'm Pastor Charles Ellis here at Harvest New Life Church here in the city of Dallas, Texas. But thank you for joining us this morning on our Hope broadcast. As always a pleasure to come into your phone lines or come into your household, wherever you may be this morning. Just the fact to know that you're on the line and you give me the opportunity to come into your house or your home or wherever you may be in your car just to bring the Word of God to you this morning. We're going to be dealing with a very interesting topic this morning, dealing with the seven sins that can keep you from walking in the will of God. These are so prominent in the church today to a point that we ignore them, but yet they still exist. I want to let you know more about our church here at Harvest New Life Church. If you want to go to our website and see more about me as a senior pastor in the church itself, go to www.harvestnewlifechurch.com. Here in the city of Dallas, that's harvestnewlifechurch.com. Personal reference and call for those who want prayer after the service could give me a call as well. It's 214-870-2146. Once again, we thank you for just coming on board and being a part of this morning. We're not going to delay the time. We're going to get ourselves ready, and we're going to get right in this word, and we're going to see what God is dealing with these seven sins, as I say, these six sins, just a metaphor of what sin is we have in our life that calls us from walking opposite of what the Word of God has challenged us. Not saying we don't all have challenges, according to what it says in Romans 3:20. We all fall short in something, but it doesn't give us the right to wow, as I say, in the monkey maw or play in the mud, or know that we continue to be saved and that we continue to keep sinning with excuses, to know that God is in the path to help us to walk according to the will and the purpose of the power of God. Well, we're going to open up a prayer this morning. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ from Nazareth, as always, we declare and we decree your word according to the purpose and the power of God. Father God, we ask you to look over us, Lord, even as we bring forth the word. Look over me as a man of God, even as I continue to filter the word through filter the word through the Holy Spirit, that the word may come forth, be not of myself, but through the Holy Ghost. Father God, I declare the word, I decree it, I speak it according to not myself, but to the Spirit. Lord, I take out my words in my mouth and I put your words in. Lord, let me be available to you, that you use me as you see fit, Lord. Fill me up, Lord, as a sponge, Lord, that I may ring out the very things that your people may hear, the words, Lord, that I may speak on today. Father God, we declare the word. We speak it according to the will. We know that through you, Father God, everything and all things are possible because we are people as believers. These things we ask not of ourselves, but the power of the Most High God. We thank you, Father God. Right now, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray, Lord, amen. Well, the Bible talks about the six things. It talks about the six things. We're going to deal with seven. I'm going to talk about the six things. It says the six things in the book of Proverbs 6, chapter 6, and verse 6 through 19. It talks about the six things the Lord hate, ye seven are the abominations unto him. It goes on and speaks about more about the book of Hebrews 3 and 5. Let not your conversation be without craftiness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. I'm going to stop right there. And when we look at Hebrews and we begin to mingle that conversation in with Proverbs and Proverbs 6 and 16, Proverbs 6 and 16 through 19 talks about the craftiness of the mouth. How we as people sometimes we don't only just have a crafty mouth, but we have a proud look when we do it. And when we walk with pride, as prideful things that come out of us is not of God, because pride blocks the very Holy Spirit from doing the work that he needs to do to you. So in the book of Proverbs, over in the 6th chapter, in the 16 verses, 16, it says, as I say again, Proverbs 6 and 16 through 19, it starts in the 16th verse, and it says, six things do the Lord hate ye, seven are the abominations unto him, seven. He said, I mean six, I'm sorry, seven, yes, I'm sorry, are the abominations unto him. But the phase seven and six is just a metaphor of things that we know that these are some of the most deadliest things, the most hindering things with keeping us from walking in the will and the power and the plan that God has for our life. You hear me speak all the time about the word of God says over in Jeremiah 29:11. Only I know the thoughts and the plan. Well, the plan can only come in place if you denounce the proud look. Proud look will cause you to lead to lust. It's a list of things that leads to, pride leads to lying. leads to a lying tongue. As the Bible says, it leads to a hand that sheds innocent blood. It's more as pertains to the very process when you proud and you begin to be so prideful, things begin to creep in unaware, and it makes you feel opposite of what God is telling you. So let's read on with this. And the 17th verse, it says, a proud look, a lying tongue, a hand that sheds innocent blood. And I want to look at those two, the proud look. Pride leads the list, but a lying tongue follows soon after. A person that's proud begins to say things more or less because it makes them feel good. Another, their mouth becomes to be something other than what God tamed it to be. It becomes a word to attract negativity. It becomes a mouth that attracts people in such a way to make them feel good about themselves, rather than what the word of God has put in them. The proud look is a more or less in the area of a person who thinks more haughty. And the word of God says a man should not think more of himself than he ought to think. Well, Apostle Paul speaking says a man should not think more highly than he ought to think. But in our process of thinking in those ways, we begin to gain the access of the world and the things that around us. We seek out groups, people that we become familiar with or want to be in an accolade position to receive what we call kudos. And we begin to hang in that crowd because we want to feel more above than what we are. And even in the church, we got to understand that there are cliques, there's clubs, there's games, there's titles, there's positions that people would want to be a part of. And being a part of those cliques, clubs, games, and titles, they become to think of themselves as being more than the others than they ought to think. But I hear the word of God said, I created every man in my own image. No man is better than any other man. Every man has got the right to the tree of life. As we spoke in our last Sunday service, sometimes they're just late bloomers. In the process of having late bloomers, sometimes people don't come along as fast as they need to come along. But that doesn't give us people who are in the ministry or in the Christ or who have been in Christ for some years to make ourselves think more highly than we often think. In other words, we not to think of ourselves as being above or beyond anyone because of our education, because of our knowledge, because of our homes, cars, houses, or whatever we may have. Because when we come before the judgment seat, everything we have will be as dung, as Paul says. I count everything as dung for the righteousness of Christ. Paul speaks in this manner to say that everything I may have thought with the group that I was with that made me feel opposite of what God has wanted me to be, I can't be no longer a part of them. Sometimes you just got to be a man or be a woman and just stand up and quit looking for somebody to cater to you to hold your hand. You just got to learn how to walk on your own. When you don't understand how it is to walk on your own, you'll realize you come to a point that your tongue begins to lie. It begins to feel proud about itself, and it begins to make itself feel more than what it's need to be. Even when you begin to have, as a man of God, in my position and stature, a church that continues to grow, and God began to bless it financially, and he began to bring things into the house that we need to run the house the way it needs to run. If me, myself, find myself caught up, I'll get twisted. I'll get perverted in ways that I don't understand because now people who come into the ministry, they come under the very unction of the Holy Spirit and not the man himself. But I'm designed just to deliver the mail. The Bible says that you shouldn't have rulership over the Father, but at the same time, you should be under the Father to realize and understand that he's the one who's appointed you to do the work, that you're not thinking to yourself more than you ought to think, but continue to walk in the humbleness and know that God has got a plan for your life. Let's look over into Proverbs 6 and 18. It's in a heart that devises wicked imitations, immigrations, mutilations. My Bible speaks about the immigrational parts, about the impurities or the subvertness of the heart of a human being. It talks about the feet that is swift to run to mischief, always running up behind somebody trying to find out what is going on, whether they're sweeping around your own back door. You find people that we want to find what we call in these days flunkies, people that you want to follow up behind you to make you feel more than what you are. You're always running up behind somebody. You're more catered to them than you cater to God. But this is a very deceiving thing in the body of Christ today. We get people in our positions, and God uses them as armor bearers, or God uses them as people in positions of working in the radio room, or working as a deacon, or working as an usher, or working whatever it may be. You don't have the right to control anyone in any sort. God has put that person with you to help you to maintain some of your deeds and the things that you're doing for that particular day or that particular event, that the stress level won't be so heavy on you, that you can have that person with you to honor you in areas that they're working as a servant, to not to serve you, but serve the work that God has put in you. It goes on to speak in that same verse. It says about the that the heart that devises wickedness, the heart of a proud, diverse, wicked immigrational person or an imitation person or a subverting person, because the heart is not to be charged or changed. A man has not got the ability to change your heart. He shouldn't change your heart when you're walking in the ministry. We're talking about some seven things that devise you from walking in the righteousness of God and receiving an inheritance of what he has for you. A man should have the ability to change your heart in such a way that you think more of God than of him. But lately we've been having people who want you to think more of them and who they are. I mean, I'm not speaking about just the bishops, the apostles, or the teachers, or whatever it is, as pastors. We are there to serve them in ways that we may help them to bring forth the vision. We're not to be, per se, their flunky. We're not to be sort of their title bearer. In other words, we're not to be their tail. We're there to honor them and serve them in such ways that we don't defer ourselves as being somewhat more, them more than what we think they ought to be. But they're mere men and women who deserve the honor because they're doing the work of the kingdom that may help them finish the work that God has for them to do. The word of God speaks on and talks about the feet that be swift to run to mischief, a proud, deceptive area of sin. Therefore, it cloaks, it cracks, the behavior is unrighteousness. It always want to find out something that's not right of God. It's always trying to find some kind of way to dehumanize, to bring down that which is already in the presence of God and what it needs to be. And you know, when you think about that word, you think about how he says how you're not designed to run in the area of wickedness. You're not so quick to run to something that sounds good or kingly to your ears that you want to spread it abroad. Sometimes you just got to know how to sit down and just shut up and hold your tongue and hear what the God has to say about it. You know, he said you can't be too quick to run and just motor your mouth. Some people just got mouth just like a motorboat. Brrr. They can't hold nothing. They just keep talking all the time. They can't shut up. You know, they just keep on moving. They're fueled by negativity. They're fueled by people and controlling other individuals that make them feel more than what they are. This is what they thrive off of. If I can get you up under me and if I can gird you to make you feel it's my way and not anybody else's way, then I got you trapped. But the word of God says no man belongs. Man has got the power to rule over any man. But the wisdom, what are you saying here, Pastor Ellis? That even in the midst of working in the ministry, even in the work of coming under as a servant, you are still honoring the kingdom, not the man. But I'm not saying that you can't obey the man, but you don't honor the man in such a way that he becomes to a point that you look at him as being something more than what the kingdom of God has made him to be, because he's on the same level that you are. But God has positioned him in that area to run the very vision of the house that he's put in place. And so many times we're so quick to put somebody up under us to make us feel like we are overseer, or we got control over them in such a way that they belong to us, that they're a slave master. No, you're not a slave. You're designed to be a servant. Jesus put himself to not to be a slave. He humbled himself to be a servant of his Father who are in heaven, to come down there to show us, according to what it says in the book of Hebrews, that he is the author and the finish of our faith. Hebrews 12, to be exact. That he's going to show us how this is supposed to be done from the words that come from his Father. Even though he was Father, he was God in the flesh, but he still humbled himself to submission to his Father to bring him the rules and regulations that he needs to do in order to bring us to a life of salvation. As I said all the time, Paul said we ought to not think any more of ourselves than we ought to think. So we ought to humble ourselves before God and realize that he's the only one on the throne. That through him that everything and all things are possible. Well, as we begin to move forward, it says false witnesses that speak lies. The difference in the lying tongue in verse 17 and the false witness of verse 19 is the type of lying tongue not only tells that it don't tell the truth, but it also tells the truth in lying. It lies, period. It talks, it turns. It gets you to believe that what it's saying is so true that even he don't believe it, or they may believe it themselves. It's a tongue that not only tells the truth in its own suit of action, but it tells the truth in conceit, and it tells the truth in lying, in perverse, in division, in mockery. It is just lies, even in the midst of the truth. It mingles in the truth with lies, and it persuades its own self to believe that even what it's saying is true. That's nothing but a devised plan of the enemy to make you feel anything opposite. The Bible says that you ought to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth will help you, God. The only way he can help you is you tell the truth. Don't mix the fire with the water or with, well, let me put it like this. Don't mix darkness with light. Don't, everything in the darkness, he said, will come to light, and everything on the rooftop, everything in the house will be brought to the rooftop. Meaning your lying will soon catch up with you. He says over the 19th verse, false witnesses, in the area he's speaking in verse 19, but our false witnesses, meaning that they are people of lying. They can never come out of the deadly sins of lying. Their mouth are always moving. Their mouth is always moving, saying something opposite of what God is telling them in the way that he wants them to be. And when we think about these deadly things that flips our tongue, that make us opposite, we don't become what we call true men and women of the kingdom of God, because we tell not the truth, but we tell the half truth. We tell a half lie, a half whatever. It's half. It's not the real what God wants you to be. It becomes half. And when you become not the new thing to have, then you become not, you become half in your walk with Christ. You become unholy. You become half taught, half understanding, half a reading, half discerning, half speaking, just half. And the Bible says he wants you to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I want to take you to an area of scripture as we move on to another area of the Bible. It talks in the book of Hebrews. If you turn over the book of Hebrews 13:5, and it talks about let not your conversations be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For you have said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Let's look into that a little bit more. Let's look what the word of God is saying as we turn over to the book of Hebrews, over in the 13th chapter. And that's where to take a focus on as you hear my pages waving. I hope yours are moving with mine as well. But the word of God says a very serious word in that area of scripture in Hebrews 13:5. And it talks really seriously about this particular conversation, your lifestyle. Because we talked about it in the book of Proverbs. Your lifestyle has a whole lot to do with what comes out of your mouth. It has a whole lot to do with what keeps you from receiving what God has in store for you. It keeps you from receiving the blessings that God has in store for you. A lying tongue, it says it over in Proverbs, feet that swift to run to wickedness, the shed innocent blood. You know, when you think about verse 19 of Proverbs, it's not so much that you're doing a physical process of shedding blood, but it's just a process of how you carry yourself in your lifestyle, how your tongue moves and it strikes and it hits with deadly precision and lying and ungodliness and untruthfulness to what God has called you to be. The word of God speaks over in the book of Hebrews, and it says that your tongue, which is craftiness, your lifestyle, let it be without conversionist. In the sense of conversionist is adultery that talks about in the book of Colossians 3:5. Is to be content with such things that you have the Christ dependent. The content means you contented with Christ. You dependent on him. Be content in all things. That you know that God is always going to be with you and by your side. That you don't have to twist or half talk or do anything. Know that God is there with you all the time. But he said that I will never leave you nor forsake you. The Greek analogy or the Greek word is saying to himself. He said that the meaning that the Lord. Jesus himself is personally made a promise to you, according to Jehoshaphat, chapter 1 and 5, Josiah, chapter 1 and 5, and 1 Chronicles 28:20. He's saying that you don't have to go outside of anything. You don't have to move outside the perimeters of the true gospel and what he's called you to be in this season. that even when it seems like it seems hard for you to tell the truth, it seems hard for you to say that was right, God says that even in the midst of you being in a dilemma, in a life-threatening situation, you ought to want to tell the truth, regardless of whatever it may be. Say you have a brother or sister or somebody that done something wrong. You know that the lie is on the verge of your tongue from keeping them from going to jail. Now, the word of God said you have to tell the truth, because now your words has rang through the kingdom, that now God comes into position to put you in an area that he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And whatever the devil meant to be evil, God said he'll turn it to good. But in our own eyes, we feel that little bit of leaven, and we tell that little lie, that may save an individual out of a certain situation or circumstance, it may can help them, but no, it'll hurt them more than it can help them. You ever had a person who's been in trouble and somebody who's always constantly going into having controversy in their life, and comes down to them to have a jail sentence, or you know how their lifestyle has been, and now they come before the persecutor, which is the attorney, and they get ready to serve them on their life sentence. But that little thing in your tongue, you got the right that they may die or live. But in the process of you saying whether they live or die, you feel that you want to tell that little bitty lie that may get them off the hook, which really might cause them and will cause them to fall really flat. But God says that he'll never leave you or forsake you. Sometimes, and most of the times, I ain't going to say, but all the times, you just need to know how to just thrive yourself on telling the truth. We're talking about the deadly things that keep you from entering into the kingdom of God, and how the little leaven leavens a whole loaf, that the little lies are turned to big lies, the little wickedness are turned to big wickedness, that you got to realize that you got to be a person of integrity. You got to be a person that stand up with ethics, and then you got to know that whenever that situation comes about, or whatever happens to a person, you're going to come to the point to realize that in the midst of that point, that you got to know that God is still on the throne. And no matter how bad it may sound and how bad it may hurt you to tell the truth, you're just going to have to tell the truth, because it's going to be the truth that sets you free. Set you free from what? You know that God said that you are with me, I'm with you, my son, that I never leave you, I will never, ever forsake you. Over in the book of 1 John, as we move to 1 John 1 and 9, he said, if we confess our sins, he said he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Now, we got to really look at that real close. The Bible says, if we confess, that's the main thing. The confession sometimes is very hard for people. We're talking about some of the seven deadly things that keep you out of the kingdom, or keep you from walking in the will of God. Confession, and the most for people, is hard to do. Confession. And confession, it was really what set you free. The Bible says, tell the truth. For the word of God says, tell the truth and shame the devil. You hear it say all the time, but it's going to be the truth that sets you free. And the Bible says, if he say he never leave you or forsake you, then he means that. And the Bible says, who the Son sets free is free indeed. He says we are to confess our sins. He is faithful and just. The Bible says a just shall walk by faith. This verse said he is faithful and just. That they mean he's got the ability to deliver us for whatever it may be that's alienating us, that make us feel opposite of what's about to come out of our tongue. And we got to get a revelation on this. We got to get understanding of what we said here. Faithfulness and confession leads you to forgiveness. It forgives you because now the sins have been set aside, and now he's going to cleanse you to the area of righteousness. That now what it seems to be on your own understanding, I think that what you said may have caused that particular individual to fall into an area of what they seem to be of a heinous crime, or a imprisoned sentence, or a loose or loss of a friend, or a loss of maybe even death. But God said, you done the right thing, but you didn't understand what took place, but you done the right thing. Because if you look back over the track record of most people, when they pass away from here or they get a jail sentence, you'll find out later on through different people that, wow, I didn't know that particular person was like that. He seemed to be so good toward me. But there are so many deadly things that's going on in the lives of people because they don't confess. the very things that's in their heart, that God will be a just God, that he'll be a faithful God, that he'll be a merciful God to deliver them by whatever it may be that's alienated them. I want to look a little closer at this when we think about that particular scripture. I mean, it's really a strong scripture in itself. It says if we confess our sins, confessing our sins pertains to the act of sin. Now, let's look about that. Confessing our sins pertains to the act of sin. If we deceive ourselves, refers to self-deception. Now, I want to roll there a little bit about deceiving and self-deception. You know, you could deceive yourself into leading you to believe that what you said was a lie could be the truth, or what you believe was the truth could be a lie. And you can say it so much that you can win yourself over to lead you to believe that you're telling the truth, because you will do that thing repetitively over and over again. Remember, the Bible says we're going to have to confess. You can't continue to keep on lying and receive God's anointed word that he says over in the book of Hebrews 3 and 5, the craftiness, your conversation, the craftiness of the way you speak, the way you say things, the way you do things. You got to be orchestrated in a way that it says in the book of Hebrews 3 and 5, but we're still in 1 John 1 and 9, but it says in Hebrews 3 and 5, let your conversation, this is the main thing. The first part of that verse is really extraordinary. He said, let your conversation be a what? Of confessing, as it says in 1 John 1 and 9. Confessing what? Our what sins? Not just our sins, but your sins. Remember, it's an individual walk. But when you confess your sins, then you can bring somebody else out of their sins. But if you can't confess your sins, then you can't be free to have the faithfulness and just that it says in Romans, that the just shall walk by faith. You just shot that down. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Remember, we got to have the confession to be get the faithful and justness. If we can't get the confession, then we can't get the faithful and justness. That if we understand and realize that the sins that we're dealing with in our life causes us to fall in the unrighteousness. And he said if we confess our sins, we'll fall into the righteousness of him. But if we don't clean ourselves from our sins, we'll fall into unrighteousness. Now, it sounds kind of bewildering and kind of behooved here, but you really got to look at this really closely. You know, he's given a word about the confessing part. If I was an attorney on a case and I was dealing with an issue in somebody's life, the first thing I want them to do is give me the facts about why they're falling in or what the outline of the crime was. And they can give me the outline of what the crime was, and the outline of the crime was sin. So we said, well, if I'm going to bring you off of this case, if I'm going to get you free from this very situation, you're going to first have to give me the facts. And we're giving you the facts. It's the only way I can even give the jury the truth about on your behalf. Let me worry about how to turn it and twist it. Your job is just to give me the truth and how it is. Now, remember, as he brings forth the truth, remember, the prosecuting attorney, you remember who he is? He's the devil. He's designed to devise the lie to make you feel good about what you're saying. That even as Jesus used the man of God as the advocate, in other words, the persecuting, as a perpetuation for your sins, he's the one who's trying to keep you off the chain. But what it seems like that if you tell the little lie, it'll help you get farther. Well, how many people know a little lie turned into a big lie? And the big lie turned into a larger lie. And then all of a sudden, Jesus, who came to bring forth the confession, he begins to fade out more and more. Because the more you lie, the more you're pulling them out. The more you're pushing them out the picture, the more you invite the persecuting attorney in, which is the devil. Now, his plan for your life is not what God's plan is for your life or Jesus' plan for your life. His lie is to get you bottled up, or get you twisted up in all kinds of stories that's not true to the fact that what you are is that you're going to find yourself being contorted or twisted or perverted. And then when the lie comes up again, you got to make up a new story for another lie. But what I'm saying here, and I don't want you to lose me on this because this is very interesting here. He says that if you confess, pertains to the act of sins, whatever that might be the sins to be in your life. John 3:16 says the saints of the sanctuary, the confession. He says that Jesus, he died on the cross. He gave his only begotten son that we may have the tree of life, that whosoever loves him will be cleansed. Now John 3:16 is the very verse. God so loved the world, but he gave the world, he so loved the world that he gave himself not for you to lie, but to tell the truth, to know that he would never leave you or forsake you. And let's look at this again. He said he is faithful in just to forgive us of our sins. God will always be true to his own nature and promises, keeping faith with himself and with men. But he's saying that here, if you do your side, I'll do my side. If you allow the enemy to come in just a tittle, then you've inverted the whole plan of what God has for you to do. Remember what he says, the plan that I have for you is good and not of evil. That's Jeremiah 29:11. So when you're walking in the righteousness of Christ, if you continue to sin that grace may abound, then you will continue to fall short of what God has the plan for you. If I continue to sin, then faithfulness will soon fade away from me, and uncraftiness will lead me to unrighteousness. And if I continue to dwell in unrighteousness, then I'll fall as being a person of sin. And when I fall in sin, I'm being tormented by the very thing that's been alienating me all my life. I never have the way to come out because now sin has entrapped me in an area where I don't understand my way out. And the man that you read over in the book of Mark 5 was a man who was trapped in tombs that the area that he was in, his family couldn't save him. The chains couldn't hold him down. He cut and scratched himself, but he knew that there was a way for him to come out in the book of Mark 5. They say when Jesus came out of the situation or came over to the other side of the island, which is the island of the Gadarenes, he stepped on the island and then the truth came. And what we are in our lives with the seven deadly sins, and we haven't got to all of them, and this is a series I'm going to be continuing to minister to you on. These series are going to be designed to help you to come out of the things that's in your life that holds you hostage or hold you bondage to the ills that the enemy has got you pinned down. And you don't seem to know how to come out. But God is giving you a word right here, right now. He said the confession and let your conversation be of the faithfulness that's due to you according to what his son done on the cross in John 3:16. He said that he'll never leave you nor forsake you, but you're going to have to come up out of Lodabar. You're going to have to come up out of your lying. You're going to have to come up out of your cheating. You're going to have to come up out of your uncraftiness. You're going to have to come up around some folk that's not right for you to get the will of God in your life. He said, if you confess the word of God, confess righteousness, confess the realness, confess the faith, confess the truth, confess the things that deeply hold you down, the pins that hold you bound. The word of God said, I got the power to access every root that ever tried to beset you and make you feel opposite what I promised you. There's a lot of things that's going on, even in our churches today, rebellion is at its highest as ever before. We're going to have to work with an area of craftiness to the point that we have to know that we got to really be careful how we walk and how we step, how we talk and how we speak in these last days, because the devil is sitting there with a hand out waiting to pull you back over to what God is bringing you out of. I'm going to slow these questions down here. We're not finished with this series, but I wanted you to understand that in this conversation that we're going to have to realize to get you to see that your ways in God's ways as it far as from the heavens for the earth. The Bible says if you walk upright, Psalms 84:11, if you walk upright, there's no good thing that I withhold from those who walk upright. You got to walk upright in order to receive all that God has in store for you. And the first part of this series of walking with the seven deadly sins is knowing how to tame your tongue. Knowing how to walk in the craftiness, meaning the conversation that you have as being a person of God, to know that your words out of your mouth has got to be true. I want to open up the lines here. I want people to speak out on the part of this conversation because we have a few minutes. We have 18 minutes left on the air, and we want you to join in, and we want you to come a part of what God is doing on this show. We want to hear what you have to say concerning the words and what's taking place on today. The line is open for those whosoever will want to speak. But let's speak in turn, and let's speak with diligence, because you can't eat all the pie. Let's not let anybody eat all the pie. So the lines are open for you who want to have the discussion on this particular subject this morning. God bless. You don't have to wait on anybody. You just come right on in. Amen. Yet there's room for more, but yet there's not many. But we invite you to always have something to say during the course of this service, because we really want you to know that we want to hear from you, and we want you to be with us, and we want you to continue to move in what God is calling you to do in this season. But even though there's not none, but that there's more room for many. But as we speak about these things and we deal with these things, the book of Matthew speaks another strong word in the area of Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters. I mean, you can't serve a lie and serve truth. You can't serve man and serve God. Now, don't get me wrong. The book of Amos speaks in the terms of how he don't first bring a word into the land unless it's revealed through his prophets. Now, he's going to bring a word into the land that he got to use a man to bring a word into the land. We're bringing a word into the land. God moves in a way that he helps us to understand the area in which he's calling us to be a part of, be in. Now, when you look at Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and he will love the other. Now, this is interesting. Now, he said he would hate one and he would love the other. Now, when he's saying that he would hate one and love the other, I mean, you can't serve Dr. Jekyll and serve Christ too. Dr. Jekyll is your ways, how you deal with your personal life and how you walk according to the course of what God has called you to walk. And you can't diddle and dabble in the word of God. You can't play in and out. You can't jump in and out of the fire. And that's what it speaks about here in the book of Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and he will love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve two mammon. You cannot serve God and mammon, meaning that he said you will hold to one, meaning sometimes money is the god of people's lives. The servitude part is said that you can't serve the world and serve Christ. Now, you got to look very interesting. You got to look very close at the scripture in the book of Matthew 6:24. No man can serve, first of all, two masters. And he makes that point clear. And he begins to give you the understanding about who the two masters are. He says in the first part, either you would hate the other, hate one, and you would love the other. He said, or else you will hold to one and despise the other. Now, let's look at the problem. It says either you will hate one and love the other. Either you will love the world or love man, or you will love God itself, period. You will love the world and what it got to offer. You will love it, period. He goes on and says that you will hold to one and despise the other. Either the money will be your God, you will hold to it, and what happens, you will hate God. You mean money will be more of the area of what you want than God. You will love it more than you love God. And he goes on and says that, you know, that if you hold to one and despise the other. He said, yea, no man can serve God and mammon. The American word for money. You can't serve money, even the world. From the eye standpoint of view, you can't live with the opportunity or the idea of thinking the world got everything to offer you. My wife bought me a bracelet here some time back, and it said that you are not of this world, which is true. Our destination is the kingdom of God. Everybody's destination ought to be the kingdom of God, only if you're doing the will and the gift that he's put in you. Jeremiah says, no man, for I only know the thoughts and the plans. But he goes on to say that Jeremiah 29:11 that he don't know the thoughts and plans of the Jew, but he also comes back in Jeremiah 1:5, he talks before I form I knew. God knows everything about it. And this is something interesting when you talk about this, how we got so much running around in the body of Christ, speaking things that they ought not to speak, playing in ways they ought not to play. And you really got to understand, you got to listen to hear God. Man is designed, according to the book of Amos, he said, I will first bring a word into the land, and rest is revealed through my prophets. But hold on. The prophet is not your God. He only speaks through the word what God gives him to speak. But Paul says there are many false prophets that went out into the world in the last day. The word of God speaks, there'll come a time when they won't endure sound doctrine. He said that they will have itching of their ears, meaning they will want to hear something that's appeasing and pleasing to them, to make them feel good about what they're doing and the way they're doing it. Now, you got to watch yourself, because there's a lot of seducing spirits in the world today. And along with seducing spirits, lying spirits has come forth as well. And lying spirits will cause you to fall into start choosing certain things as mastership over you. And that's why he says over in the book of Matthew 6:24 that you can't serve two masters. You will either love one or hate the other. Well, what are you saying, Pastor? Negative spirits are designed to make you feel everything other than what God has promised you. Spirit of control, spirit of hate, spirit of anger, spirit of just of bewitchment. What am I saying? Kind of control people. A spirit of backbiting, just talking. Don't have a love of God in you. Spirit of just chatter, just talking too much. And don't know when to be quiet or just shut up. Just talking all the time. You got to know how to control your tongue. You got to know how to control your mouth. These, what Paul says, he said, not only were the seven deadly sins, he said, there's a lot more seducing ones that rise along with them. Like the book that talks about how pride, along with pride comes another other host of the enemy. You know, lying, mischief, murder, speaking bad, drinking, embezzlement, lust, desirable, fornication, lasciviousness, outburst, revelingness. Like you speak, all these, see, these wise ones, they just ride along with the seven seducers. See, they like a mega bomb. When they hit, all of them come out of the sky. When they speak, all of them come out and begin to hold on to you. They begin to give you more than what you want. You think you got one thing, lying comes with mischief. Outburst comes with lying. Evil contentions come with lust of the flesh. Is anybody here? You know, when he talks about revelry, it comes with somebody who's speaking lies all the time. Outbursting, talking loud, just talking too much. And don't want to shut up. It's an old song that comes and you talk loud, but you ain't saying nothing. Or you talk too much. Sometimes you got to know how to hold your peace. Keep your mouth shut. And in the midst of you seeing something going on in an anointed service, know how to sit back and be quiet and hear what the word of God is saying. These things are called to distract the leader. Not this leader, though, because all I do is cast the Holy Ghost upon you and say, Lord, deal with that, because I ain't got time to play with that. And sometimes people will take you for play, especially when you're doing the word of God. There's so many things, in the body of Christ that will cause people to fall into all kind of degrees of the seven deadly sins that are in your life. The word said these seven deadly sins that God hates, the six things, the seven things that he hates, these are abominations come to him. Hebrews speaks about, Hebrews 3:5, speaks about the craftiness. 1 John speaks about the confessedness. Matthew 6:24 speaks about the servant of two masters. Colossians 3:8 talks about that now you also be put off of these things, anger and malice, blaspheme, filthy communication out of your mouth. You can't do these things and you say you love God. Colossians gives a very strong warning about how you ought to walk right with your tongue. He says in Colossians 3:8, but now ye also put off all these angers, wrath, malice, blaspheme, filthy communication out of your mouth. That's one of the deadly sins, how to control your mouth. Because, see, out of your mouth comes a whole bunch of other stuff that invite the other seducing spirits, as Paul talks about this in earth, to come and join in. They attach themselves to the main negative spirits, and they begin to spread out. Matthew 7:7 talks about ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it will be opened unto you. Revelation 21:15 says, I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the keys to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Now, know what it says. He says, I saw an angel coming down to heaven. That's judgment seed. Out of all that you have read in Matthew 7:7, Colossians 3:8, Matthew 6:24, 1 John 1:9, and Hebrews 13:5, and Proverbs 16 through 19. This is where Revelation comes into place. Now here come the angel getting ready to haul you off to hell because you hadn't lived your life the way you ought to live it according to the word of God, because you are the man or woman that didn't walk in ethics. You didn't walk in integrity. You didn't walk in with the craftiness. In other words, you walked in craftiness. You didn't walk in the conversation that he talks about over in the book of Hebrews or what pertains over in Colossians 3:8. It tells you simply in the book of Hebrews 3:13-5, let your conversation be without craftiness. Matthew 7:7 says, let all, he said, ask and it shall be given unto you, seek and you shall find. Knocking the door should be open. Well, he's telling you that over in the book of Hebrews 13:5, just this. Let your conversation be true. As you ask them, according to Matthew 7:7, he will give to you. If you got a problem with Hebrews 3:5, that you lie all the time, you scorn all the time, go to Matthew 7:7 and ask God the things that you like. Seek him, and he'll give to you. But one thing about it, you can't continue to walk into Colossians 3:8. But now you put off all these angers, the wrath, the malice. Now, I'm telling you, all of these things got stuff attached to them that makes them feel worse or make you feel, it magnifies your sins even more than what they ought to be. As I said before, we have callers and, I don't know what it is that we don't get that much conversation on the line, but you know what? It's good for you to listen. Maybe it's good for you to listen because maybe some of these things are just touching you in your heart and making you understand that this is what you got to do to get yourself right. And maybe you got to get to where all you need to be. And we just want to let you know that, you know, we love you here at Harvest New Life Church. We thank you for joining in with us. We're going into about the five-minute segment of our show. And for all those who are needing prayer, we want you to just tell us what your prayer needs are. And if you don't have any prayer needs, we're going to pray for you anyway. We're going to pray to God to deliver you from whatever it is that the enemy is holding you bound in. So we thank God for you. We want you to speak out. We want you to hear what the Word of God is saying. We want you to be a part of what God is saying in these last days. We want to hear. Don't sit back and let the devil beat you down. Hear what the Word of God has to say to help you move out of what
you need prayer.
Excuse me?
I need prayer.
Oh, yeah. We're going to get right to it here in just a minute. We're going to get just a minute, man. God, stay right there. But we want you to know that prayer is one of the greatest arsenals in your army, in your arsenal, before you become a sword, you got to be a sword, because a sword looses things. It causes the dilemma and the power of the devil to be shattered. And this young man who's coming on the line, I want him to go ahead and give me his prayer request, because we want to pray for him and everybody else that's on the line. Amen. Go ahead, young man. What is your prayer request on this morning?
I need prayer request for number one, my mouth. Because it's still, you know, for me to be going in a new direction with God, you know, I still have problems with my mouth, you know what I'm saying? I let anger get the best of me sometimes, and I go off, you know. And, you know, like James say, James 3, if you're able to control with your tongue, you control your whole body.
Amen.
I'm still having problems with that. And the thing with smoking cigarettes, I'm still having problems with that too.
Yeah.
It's like every time I try to not get one, it's like the enemy put something on my mind, or he know what to do to make me go get one, you know, and I recognize that. But I'm powerless to it, you know what I'm saying? And I admit that, I'm powerless. I pray to God about it. I'm powerless over it, you know, and I need his help. But, you know, it's like I try to stop smoking the cigarettes, but it's like the enemy know how to make me go get them, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I get upset or get mad, that's the first thing I want to do. Probably the second. I get upset or mad, I probably cuss first, and then I go get some cigarettes, you know? But, you know, I understand it, and I'm just trying to knock them out like I've been knocking everything else out, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, amen. Lord God, one thing I can tell you, the word of God speaks, and you heard it talks about the craftiness. And it talks about how the enemy comes in. That's his job, is to make, his job is to put craftiness in your mouth. In other words, he's not going to put the truth in your mouth. He's going to put craftiness. That means lying. In other words, he makes you feel, he will make you. In the area that you're in, which is a stronghold, he will make you feel how I would say, and I want to put this in the right way, he will make you feel that you're deceiving yourself. He make you feel deceptive. So we're going to pray for you, and we're going to pray those spirits off of you in the name of Jesus. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we declare the word of God right now over this young man. And Father God, we loose every foreign spirit, every negative thought that ever tried to come into his mind, to try to challenge the thought of what you said according to your word. Your word is declared and decreed according to the power of God. Is there anything too hard for you to do? I believe that the very lasciviousness and the very things that come out of his mouth is not of him, but it's of the devil. And we lose him first of all. First, we knock him in the name of Jesus. And we shut him down according to the power of the word and the power of God. And Father God, according to the will and the purpose of the Holy Ghost, Lord, we loose every form and every fashionable thing that try to come against him, Lord. And we shut down every negative thought. And we decree by the power of God and by the power of the Spirit, and no weapon formed against him. We loose the very bands of lying that's coming out of his mouth, which is causing him to put the very thing in his mouth to make him do what he's doing. Cussing is lying. We loose the very area of cussing in the name of Jesus. Foul malice language in the name of Jesus. And we declare by the word of God that he be delivered on this day. Your word is declared according to the power of God. You have given him dominion. You said in your word, Lord, in Luke 10:19, you are not given dominion, but you have given him power. And Lord, we loose the enemy right now in the name of Jesus. We declare by the power of God that he be delivered for whatever it may be that's in it. And we declare by the power of God and by the power of Spirit that no weapon formed against him shall prosper, and that we'll be able to stand. And we shut down every form and every fashion of the enemy right now in the name of Jesus. And we declare by the word of God and by the power of the Spirit, Lord, even as he began to speak out on himself of the confession of the things that's going on in his life, we shut it down right now in the name of Jesus. We plead the blood, Lord. We send forth your heavenly angels, a single angel, Lord, to go out to deliver him for whatever it is that he's going through. And Father God, now that, Lord, I pray for my mother and my father in the name of Jesus. I declare by the word of God that even as they lay in the afflictions of which they in, that your word is declared according to the kingdom, they will be delivered whatever it may be that's in their life. Father God, I'm asking you to touch my mother from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, and let everything in her body line up according to the Spirit. Lord, I decree according to the plan and the power of God, and know that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, nothing will be able to stand. And Father God, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and I declare by the word of God and by the power of the Spirit, Lord, even as you move forth, Lord, I'm asking you, Heavenly Father, look on my sister Deanna in the name of Jesus. Lord, I'm asking you to give her favor on today, Lord, that the very move that she needs, Lord, that she may make a very major move. Lord, I declare by the power of God that you make a way out of no way, Lord. And every move that she go into today, Lord, let it be subdued in such a way that the enemy try to come against her, Lord. And we knock him out the box, Lord, that everything will fall in place for her this morning in the name of Jesus. I declare by the word of God and by the power of the Spirit, you look upon my wife, Ashley the Mimosa, in the name of Jesus, Lord. And I thank you, Father. Lord, I feel your Holy Ghost. I'm asking you to move like you never moved. moved before, Lord. Touch this man of God's wife, ha, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Touch it in the midst of a pregnancy, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Father God. And I'm asking Heavenly Father to touch that very baby that's in the womb, Lord. I'm asking to let it be safe and sound, power and thrust in the morning of the miracle to be upon that child, Lord. That even when it comes forth, Lord, there'll be no hurt, harm, and danger, Lord. I'm asking Father God to touch every one of the children, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I declare by the word of God and by the power of the Spirit, Lord, that you move over our church, Lord. And I'm asking to set out every demonic force to try to come against us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I declare the power of the anointing upon the house of this young man as well as the power of the anointing upon this house, that no weapon formed against us is possible, and nothing we've been able to stand. Lord, I stand in the gap for even my family right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Look over them, Lord, and touch them, Lord. Let their mind line up according to the Spirit, Lord. Look over my nephews and nieces, Lord. Touch them in ways that have never been touched before, Lord. Let the power of the Holy Ghost begin to move. Let the authority of the Spirit begin to transform and change, Lord. Let it move, Lord, like a whirlwind, Lord. Let it convict and let it arrest. Let it shut down every negative thing that's not like God. Lord, I declare the word of God by the power of the Spirit that no weapon formed against us should prosper and nothing will be able to stand, Father God. I loose every form of witchcraft, Lord, every form of charity, Lord, every soothsaying spirit. I shut it down right now in the name of Jesus. I send every imp and every goblin back to hell in which it comes from, Lord, that we be loosed and have the favor of God upon our life, Lord. From this day forward, Lord, I declare this, what I decree. I speak it right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord. I call it to come forth, Lord, and I bind every evil tongue and every evil spirit right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. And I just declare a plan and declare a plea, Lord, according to the word of God, according to the Spirit, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and nothing will be able to stand. I thank you, Father God, right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord. I pray, Lord, let your will continue to be done this day and forevermore, Lord. And as we end this broadcast, Lord, I declare that you continue to put your loving arms upon it, Lord. Let it move with power. Let it move with grace. Let it move with authority, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. I thank you, Father God, for the word that you sent forth today on this morning, that it will be received by the ears of the people who love you the most, that it come to full fruition right now. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray, Lord, amen, Lord. Amen and amen. Man of God, I'm telling you, he's trying to come at you. I just feel it in my spirit. He's trying to come at you. But you got to realize and understand, get yourself where you need to be. I don't know where you are right now, but he's trying to sneak back in. I see a door that's open somewhere, but you got to shut it. You got to shut that door. And there's nothing but darkness is trying to creep in. It's trying to bring you back. But I believe by the word of God that he will have a hold on you, that you'll go forth and do everything that God is praying for you to do. And you move forward, and you trust God, and you watch everything in your life begin to blossom, even with the midst of what you're thinking about on your heart the most that's giving you all this stress. But God said in the word of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he said, I've already taken care of it. He said, now you got to learn to walk by faith. I don't know what it is. But he said, I've already taken care of it. He said, I'm going to reverse the field. I'm going to reverse whatever it is that's coming. I'm going to reverse the field. And he said, you're going to know that this time that I am God, and beside me there is no other. Well, this is Pastor Charles Ellison, Harvest New Life Church here in the city of Dallas. I thank those of you that are coming in and joining us with us this morning. We want you to come and join us on our prayer session this coming Wednesday, starting at 7 o'clock. And we honor you for all that have been on the line with us, and we thank you. For more information about us and the services, we come close to our time, go to www.harvestnewlifechurch.com. For those of you who want to contact me for personal prayer, please call 214-870-2146. Thank you once again for joining us our host session here at Harvest New Life Church. And God bless you and have a wonderful day in the Lord.